following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're in the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read to you from verse 1 down through verse 4. Follow along or read out loud if you want to. Tonight I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I love the way it reads here. It says, "Watch out." Everybody say, "Watch out." Turn to somebody, look them in the eye, and say, "Watch out." "Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." Father, we thank you that we have this covenant with you, this contract with you, Lord, where you see everything we do, you hear everything we say, you know the motives of our heart. And tonight we pray that your word would search those things out in us and cause us, Lord, to walk just like we sang, a little closer and a little stronger, Father, and that we'd know your pleasure in our lives as we do the things that please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. "Watch out," he said. We'll get to that in a second. How many of you remember the questions that you were supposed to keep in mind when you were writing papers for school? Any of you remember those questions? They're not complicated questions. And so whatever it was, maybe it was a term paper, maybe it was an essay or a book report, you're supposed to ask of that subject, who, what, where, what, when, why, and how. How many of you remember that? That bring back some painful memories of school? Asking those questions. In one sense, every single Bible talk is a book report. Now, I hope it's a little bit more than a book report. But if it's a Bible study or we're trying to expound on something we find in God's word, it better be a good report on what we find in his word. Whatever it is, whether you call it a Bible study, a sermon, a devo, if it's a topical study just on one theme, or you're going verse by verse like we typically do here, or it's a fireside chat, whatever you call it, it's all coming from this one book, or at least here, can I say it? It better be. Because what we want is God's word. We want his truth, and we want to live according to his truth. And so any faithful teacher or preacher is there to simply report to us what God has said in his word. And so tonight, let's use those questions on this section of our book report on the mountain. I mean, the Sermon on the Mountain. And let's see what it has to say about that. So we begin by talking about one of the most controversial themes in all of the Bible. It doesn't matter what culture you live in, it doesn't matter what time or epoch of history you've lived in, this is one of the most controversial themes in the Bible, a subject that makes people squirm, and it's the subject of giving. Giving. Now, don't tremble. Take your hand off your wallet. We're not reaching for it tonight. There are joy boxes out here. Some of you remember that. How many of you remember that? How many of you don't know why in the world a bunch of people just went, woo-hoo? Let me see those hands. The Bible tells us we should give with a glad heart. We should give with a joyful heart. So years and years ago, I heard somebody say that they changed the name of the offering boxes to joy boxes. And whenever that pastor would say, you can put your offerings in the joy box, everybody did what you did. So afterwards, if you want, you can put your offering in the joy box. That's even closer to how it should sound. Absolutely. But tonight, I want to remind you that what we're going to look at, let me tell you what it's not about. I want to be really, really clear on this. This is not about how to get saved. It's not about how to get to heaven. It really isn't. It's about how to live here on our way there. What God expects of us. We're saved by God's grace. Amen? Because he gives us a gift of salvation. And all you have to contribute to get that gift of salvation is, yes, turn from your sin, identify it as sin, stop making excuses for that sin, and by faith, receive the grace that he gives you. This amazing gift of his grace, receive it with that little thimble full of faith that you got, or as the Bible says, your mustard seed of faith, Put that faith in the right one, and that right one is Jesus. We're saved by God's grace, and that is a sealed deal. But there's a life to be lived right here, isn't there? He didn't save us and then evacuate us to heaven. How many of you wish that was the deal? That people that got saved just slowly elevate off the face of the earth, and they got a moment to say to everybody that's watching them, hey, join me, give your heart to Jesus Christ. But he left us here. He's got something for us to do here. And for lovers of God and followers of Jesus, there's a new way to look at that life that we get to live here on terra firma, on planet Earth. So for this week and the next 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at three common Christian practices. And they were common Jewish practices as well. Three things that all Christians get to do. All three of these. We're going to look tonight at just the good works part of it. Doing good things for other people. So many of you are already involved in that. It's like in 1 Corinthians 16, I think it's around verse 15 or so. It talks about this family that was addicted. Do you know there were addicts in the early church? They were addicted to serving the people of God. That's a great addiction. I don't know about you, but I had other addictions, and I'm glad they're behind me. But to be addicted to serving God, and that we would be those kinds of people that just go around doing good things for other people. Next week and the following week, we'll be looking at prayer, holding an open conversation with God. How central that is to a relationship. It's central to any relationship. Conversation. And that's all prayer is in all of its many forms, an open conversation with God. And the third week, it'll be on fasting. Good reasons to miss a meal or two meals. Or like Jesus did for 40 days, if he was on our schedule of eating, 120 meals. Can you imagine giving up 120 meals and having any kind of strength left? Well, those three practices were very common practices that were often complicated by religious leaders who loved to complicate the simple. And so Jesus is going to approach those issues. Some of those leaders and teachers could not leave the simplest disciplines simple. They had to add layers of complexity to them. And some of the most beautiful and natural practices were turned into over-governed regimens in their life, where it wasn't just a natural flow anymore of prayer and doing good things for people and deciding to miss a meal or two here and there for a spiritual reason of drawing close to God or interceding for another person. Well, Jesus at this point seems to be very, very determined to re-simplify those cornerstones of our walk with God and our relationship with him, the giving, the praying, and the fasting. But tonight, like I said, it's about giving. So let's ask those questions quickly to what we're going to look at this evening. We're only going to spend time on a couple of the questions, the who, what, where, when, why, and how. But first of all, what is the what? Well, obviously the what in this section is giving. Jesus is going to talk to us about giving. And the gift is not always money. You need to know this. God's not just after your money. He's after you and everything that he's given you. By the way, everything you have, you know it's a gift from God, right? The Bible says this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everyone who lives on it. He has ownership of all that. He has the right to all of that. And so it's not just about money that we're speaking tonight. It's often those gifts that he calls us to give. I think one of the most valuable gifts is time to someone. We're all limited to the same amount of time every single day, but to give somebody your time. And while you're giving them your time, how about this? Giving them your attention, where you're actually listening to them. Husbands, am I talking to you? Wives, do you want me to be talking to your husband right now? To where we give not just our time, but our attention. My wife is over here nodding her head up and down. Yes, up and down. I am very easily distracted, aren't I? She's nodding her head up and down, up and down. That is me. So that, for me, whenever I give full attention, that is a gift. Also, how about these? The gift of transportation, a person that needs a ride and you got a car, or somebody that needs a rescue, someone that needs first aid, that's a valuable gift, or a show of grace or mercy. How about this? You get to give, I get to give, and we together, we get to extend the gift of forgiveness to people where they're reinstated in a relationship with us. It could be the gift of wisdom. You know something somebody else doesn't know. It might be the truth of Scripture. It might be a skill you can pass on to another person. That's another gift of giving. It could be a gift of encouragement. Many of you have received a gift of shelter from somebody at some point in your life beyond the time when you were raised by your parents. Let me see the hands of those where somebody took you in and they allowed you to live with them and they gave you shelter and they even put food on the table for you as well. Well, the next, that's what the what is. It's about giving in all kinds of ways. The next is the who. Well, the who is you and the who is me. And it's us that are called to give, whoever happens to be giving. And by the way, we can't always delegate the giving. We can't say, oh, I know someone that can meet your need. Just be asking God, God, give me the resources. Let me realize what kind of resources I have buried in my garage somewhere that somebody else might be able to use and be the conveyor of that. We can't always delegate the giving. We can't say, here am I, Lord. I see the need. Please go send her. But God says, I want to send you. I want to use you. And if we do that, we miss out on a huge blessing. Remember, we're all called into a mission of giving, every one of us. And it's not just about the tithe off of our financial income. So the who is you and me. The third and fourth together are the when and the where. This one is easy. The when and the where of giving. Well, you give whenever and wherever that need arises, where you find yourself with someone who has a need and you've got some sort of resource to touch that. We don't control the timing. We don't get to control the location. It's when we see a person in need. Let me give you some of the categories. You see that they're in pain and you can help them. You see that they're alone and you can sit with them. They might be destitute. They might be threatened and you step in. Some of you in a crowd this size, you've gone in to break up fights. You've gone in to rescue someone who is about to be victimized. And thank you for doing that. You see someone who's depressed. You're in deep despair and you do something about it. It says in verse 2 from which we read, it says, when you see someone in need, you move on it. A man, it's the man, like I say over and over again, here's my unapologetic broken record. You see the man or the woman or the child in the middle of your road. And you can walk around them and hope somebody else does something for them or stop and stoop and take time for them. But the last here is the why and the how. And that's really what Jesus' main focus is in this section. It's all about our motivation and the execution of what we're going to do for him. Why we do it and how we get it done. Let me go back to verse 1 and 2, where he says, watch out, be careful. He says, watch out, don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. And when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I brought my silver friend with me tonight, and I don't play it well, but I discovered something tonight. The next to the last song, the band was playing it in the key that I could play along with. You couldn't hear it over the band, at least I don't think you could. But here's the deal. There's two possibilities here when it talks about blowing the trumpets before them. Other translations say they sounded the trumpet. And you might remember this a few weeks ago, we were talking about that. It could possibly not have anything to do with a horn. It could have to do with the offering boxes that were in the shape of the horn at the point of reception. And they were in the court of the women, where all of these offering boxes were scattered around or placed. They weren't scattered, strategically placed. And if you wanted to give to a certain element of the service in the temple, you would go over and the trumpet-shaped horn that came up out of that box made of metal would be just kind of open, waiting for your generosity. And some people would come and they'd drop their coins in maybe one by one quietly. Oh, but those who wanted to be known as the great givers, they'd come in with a pocket full of money and they'd drop it into the horn so it just clanged and everybody could hear. And sometimes the clanging went on and on and on as they emptied their bags of gifts for the temple because they wanted to be seen. So it wasn't the blowing of the trumpet. It was possibly the sounding. But then they say that there were those who, when they were on their way, extremely, benevolent giver, coming in with a great big bunch of money, he would have a trumpeter that go before him, maybe something like a shofar or maybe something like a metal horn, and he would blow. And everyone would know, oh, here comes Moneybags. And he's coming to see, to let you see just how generous he is. And what did Jesus say? If you do that, what? Somebody shouted out, if you do that, you have what? You got exactly what you were after. Everybody's applauding you. And oh, look at the generosity. What you may not know is that's maybe 1/100th of what he has. You remember the story when Jesus says, look at that widow who drops in the last two tiniest coins that she has, giving the last thing she had, two mites. And he says, that little woman, that little old woman, she gave more than all the others put together, because she gave out of her need. She gave herself even deeper in poverty, whether or not she knew where the next would come from. But notice what how he starts here. In teaching us how to give, on the motivation, why to give and how to give, he starts with the negative. He says, don't do it to be seen and admired. You have your reward. He said, don't do it like the hypocrites sounding the trumpet as you give, because you've got your reward. Scribes and Pharisees, they're in the crowd listening to this. And they are some of those that Jesus pointed out at one time and said, don't be like them. Jesus is actually describing a very, very common scene. Noisy giving and proud giving. They're just so thankful that so many people were there to see them giving. And Jesus says, don't do it. It's those that will give if they can get their name on a plaque. I visited a church here in Orange County years ago, and it was somewhat of a cathedral. And I remember going in, and I was impressed with the building. Oh, beautiful building. I mean, stunning. Really, really was. We toured the grounds there, and we went into the sanctuary, and we're walking around, and I noticed every single soft, cushy chair in that. I know you wish we had soft, cushy chairs, don't you? Every single soft, cushy chair had a name, a plaque on the back of it, telling us who gave that $250 or however much it was chair. And if that's why they gave, if that just happened, then they still had their reward. But if that's why they gave, to see their name, John Wayne, there was a John Wayne in there. It was the John Wayne. Then Johnny had what he was after when he gave, if he gave to be seen. If that's what they did after he just humbly gave out of the generosity of heart, that's a totally different story. But that kind of giving is really more like purchasing, isn't it? If you're giving to be seen, if you're giving to be applauded, you've just purchased that applause and you've purchased that fame. Giving to be seen, it's giving to get recognized. And that's hypocrisy, Jesus said. Everybody say hypocrisy. It wasn't a dirty word in Jesus' day, until it was applied to someone who was pretending to be something that they weren't. It was nothing but the name or the word for an actor on a stage, and specifically an actor in a Greek play. How many of you ladies knew that there were no women in Greek theater, in ancient Greek theater? And so if you saw a woman on the stage in a Greek play, you were not looking at a woman. You were looking at a man who was dressed like a woman. And there's a bit of that going on today, but that's a whole different story. But you were looking at an actor who was paid to portray maybe two, three, or four different characters in the course of one play. And that person was called a hypocrite. And it was just somebody that wore a mask. There were no women in those plays. And can you imagine if your daddy was an actor and kids are on the playground and they're talking about, what does your daddy do? Well, let me tell you what my daddy does. And somebody says, well, what does your daddy do? And you say, oh, my dad's a hypocrite. And you're proud of that because it means he's famous. He's a well-known actor. But when that steps over into our life as Christians who are pretending to be something we're not, that's not a blessing. So he says, those people that give like that, they're hypocrites, they're actors, they're wearing a mask of religiosity, but down underneath their heart, they're getting the reward they wanted because they're seen by men. Well, the point is to check our heart and our motive when we're practicing what Paul would call in 1 Corinthians. How many of you still read the Old King James? Anybody still read the Old King James? I still love it from time to time. It says, if I have not charity, if I have not charity. The point here is to check our hearts and our motives when we're practicing what Paul called charity, benevolent giving. It's the Greek word, by the way, behind that for love, highest word, agape. He says, when you do this, it's agape. It's deep love. It's love giving. It's not just giving, you know, so I can take something off of my taxes. It's love giving, just simply giving out of the purity of love. And we all know what that's like. I'm sure all of you have done that at one time or many, many times in another. Just giving out of the generosity of your heart. So you give, and that's agape, and that's charity. And Jesus said, if that's why, or that's how we give, that's not hypocrisy. If we give out of the generosity of our heart, that's true, deep love. If it's the other way around, Jesus said, it is hypocrisy. And we already have all the reward we're ever going to get. The hypocrite lived for his applause. He said, I tell you the truth, in verse 2, they have received all the reward they're going to get. But Jesus gives the better why in giving, and he instructs us on the better how to give, a better motivation and a better execution. He says, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. How many of you know that's just a little bit of hyperbole? Because obviously your whole body knows what you're doing when you're doing something. But he says, be as secret as you can. He says, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. And one translation says, he'll reward you openly and outrageously. So just give to bless. Be genuine about it, like in 1 Corinthians 13. Give to demonstrate the love of God. And I would say that Jesus kind of defines it in this way too. Give as quietly as you can, in private if you can. It's not always sort of a ding-dong ditch where you drop it, hit the bell, and run for your life, because if you get caught, you lose your reward. That's not the point. So just do it as humbly and as quietly as you can. How many of the good things in our lives were the result of God practicing agape on us? And how many of us waited years and years before we realized it was God that gave me that? It was God that poured that out upon me. It wasn't just man. It wasn't just my hard work. It was God opening, like the scripture says, opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that's too much for me even to hold. And God is just the perfect giver. Amen? So in other words, he's telling us this. Give, learn to give like God gives. And reflect his love as you're giving. Honey, check me on this. There's only one honey here, and that's honey over here. But check me on this. I think it was somewhere in the summer of 1974, before Bethany was born, we went to the mailbox, and there was an envelope from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And in it was a check for $500, which was more money than I made in a month. I made $3 an hour as a gardener, working for another firm or another gardening business. And that $3 an hour was before taxes were taken out. So it was under $100 a week that I brought home, and $500, and we were expecting Bethany. And that was exactly, if I remember right, that was either exactly what the doctor charged or exactly what the hospital charged. They were very, very close to one another. You know how much it costs to go to a California hospital now and have your baby? If you don't have insurance, $26,000 plus if there's no insurance to help you with it. So that was a huge gift to us. And you know what? It was from the benevolent fund at Calvary Costa Mesa. And I don't remember if I called to find out who it was that gave it, but if we did call, they wouldn't tell us. They said it's from the benevolent fund. It was given, and we just sent it out. We have a suspicion on who it was, but we never bugged them about it because they wanted to be secret about it. So to this day, and maybe we'll get to know in heaven, but they helped to bring our firstborn child into this world. So that kind of giving, it was exactly like that. It was, they were giving as quietly as they could. Now, you may not meet someone who needs $100 tonight, but you will meet someone who needs a reminder someone who needs an encouragement, that they are loved by God. And that's giving. That's a huge gift to someone who's wrestling with whether or not God even notices them, let alone cares about them. And when you can come up alongside someone who's having those doubts and you can read it, you can see it, they might even talk about it, look them in the eyes and say, there is no question God loves you. Look at the cross. Look at what he did for you on the cross. We talked about that last week. But if you know someone you see God using, you tell them, I can see God's hand upon you. I see it the way you conduct your business. I see it in the way you love your kids and the way you serve people. And that kind of gift, you can't sneak up on someone with that. Yeah, you're going to give it to them to their face, but still in a very humble way. You can tell someone that they're doing well. You can encourage them, giving that kind of a love gift. Look, we can't die on a cross to save anyone. And if we did die on a cross, we wouldn't save anyone because we needed a Savior ourselves. But we can love like Jesus loved, as he teaches us how to do that. He said, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. And we can reflect that same love, that same heart, that same character of God. I want to encourage you, maybe tomorrow morning, maybe before you go to bed tonight, that you would pray something like that. God, help me to love like you love. With your character and with your heart and with your selflessness, with your overflowing generosity. Yeah. A lot of our giving is connected to the joy boxes. Yes. But don't let the joy box become an oh boy box. Oh boy. He's coming after the money. Don't let it be that way. Every time you give into an offering, whether it's here or somewhere else, or some ministry on the radio or something you heard about, do it with that overflowing, generous heart, and God will bless you for that. And thank you, by the way, for your faithful support of Refuge. But please don't limit your giving to here, because you got a whole long life to live. And Jesus said, these are the kind of people that I'm sending into the world. So when I send you out, it's to bless and to give and to just be a conduit of my love to other people. So how do we do our good deeds? How do we give? Why do we give? Well, in wrapping up, we give humbly. And we give as secretly as we can. Hopefully we give gladly. Like that widow in the temple, it was her joy to give, even of the last that she had. Don't go into debt to give. But give what you can and give out of love. And you know, as I was even jotting that down tonight, I found myself wondering if I have ever given totally selflessly. I don't know. I don't know if I have or I haven't. God will be the judge of that. But let's make that our mission. Amen. Just don't let it become like it had, a cold routine. And then listen carefully. And once you've done that, you're going to love it. They're going to love it. Look for the next opportunity to do it again. 1 Corinthians 16, you be addicted. Me, be addicted to the love of the saints and loving the people he puts in our path. May your life and our lives be filled with good works. May we be addicted to the life of charity. And then, like it says at the end, don't be surprised when you step into heaven and God rewards you openly for everything you did for him. The ways that even after your kids were up and raised and gone, and they're all wonderful kids, I'm sure you kept blessing them and loving them. The way you love the stranger on the corner. The way you love the homeless, that you stop and dignify by a question, how are you doing? Anything that you need, because you're loving somebody in that in the same way that Jesus did. And don't you be surprised in heaven when I don't know how this is going to be staged. I kind of feel like this. I love the scene of God walking up to you, or Jesus walking up to you and putting an arm around your shoulder and saying, hey, I'm going to thank you personally for loving your husband for me. I know what he was like. But thank you for, and thank you for loving your wife for me, though you did not understand her. Thank you for loving that person that you can't even remember now. I can't imagine what that's going to look like. But there's one other gift. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. There's one other gift that God calls for us to give to him tonight. All of us. If you haven't, tonight's the night to do it. He calls you to give. He's not interested in your money, primarily. He's not interested in you snow shoveling a whole bunch of goods to somebody. What he wants to begin with is your heart. He gave the gift of his son for you, his perfect, spotless son. And he tonight asks you to give him your broken life and your broken heart and maybe your addicted body. Maybe there's sickness. Maybe there's all kinds of darkness, whatever it is. Can you believe that God wants that from you? He says, give that to me. And you know what he'll do with that? You put your life in his hand. And number one, he'll save you and he'll forgive your sins. The ones you will never forget, he will forgive. You'll never get them out of your mind. Maybe you'll always regret the rest of your life. Why did I do that? But God will forgive it and he'll never bring it up to you again. So tonight, I tell you, God wants that gift of your heart. Give it to him, your broken life. Give him the gift of surrender to him so that he can fill you with his love and give you the gift of forgiveness. So have you ever surrendered your heart to God through Jesus Christ? Right now's the time to do it. If you're still wearing a mask of any kind, the mask that says, oh, I'm cool, or oh, I don't need God, drop the mask. Drop the mask. And open your heart to him now. And if that's you right now this evening, I want you to just stop whatever you're thinking about. Put your mind on the cross of Jesus Christ, where he suffered and died for you, and give him what he came for, the gift of your heart, your broken heart, your broken life to him. And I want to ask you to pray with me out loud right now if you're ready to make that surrender. Pray like this. Father in heaven, thank you for being the perfect giver. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I surrender the rest of my life to you. I have sinned. I am broken. I am confused. I need you. And I surrender what's left of me to you. And the rest of my life is yours. Show me how to live with you. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, we want to talk with you. We'd love to meet you. There's a prayer tent right back there as you face the back. If you turn around and face the back, it's the last tent on the left. Somebody there or the Christian that you're seated by, turn to them before you even go there and say, hey, I just prayed with Pastor Bill and I really am serious. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And then walk on with him and join our community here. Join our family and walk along with us. You look around, you won't find one perfect person here, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and let's have the band lead us in some closing worship. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.